You are listening to Wellness Wednesday, a show about health and wellness in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta.
Good morning and welcome to Wellness Wednesday. Thanks for joining us. I'm Wellness Programming Producer Alyssa Lachlan. We have a very special treat today as Dr. Ellen Hodges from the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation as well as Brian Lefferts are here to discuss COVID with us. You can call in at any point in the show. Our lines are open at 907-543-2756 and 1-800-995-8954. Welcome, Brian and Dr. Hodges. Take it away.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us. So I think this is Dr. Hodges. So I think I'm going to go ahead and just kind of start off with a summary of where we're at right now in our region. So we currently have 138 active COVID cases in our region. That is in 24 different communities, including Bethel. Our case rates have increased to, over the past 7 days, to about 510 per 100,000 in the entire region and about 359 per 100,000 in Bethel alone. So our case rates are increasing sharply. And we also have a 7% test positivity. And the reason why this is important is so that means about 7% of the tests that we are running are positive tests. And we like that number to be below 5% is good. Best is if we can get that even lower than that, closer to 1 or 2%. And so the reason why that test positivity rate is important is because that means that generally we think we have undiagnosed cases in the region if our test positivity rate is above 5%. So the sharp increase of cases is mirroring that which is happening in the state of Alaska and in the nation. And it's important to remember that these case increases are being driven primarily by the Delta variant. So the Delta variant is a version of COVID that has mutated from the original version of the virus, which we sort of refer to as the original strain or the native strain. And the Delta variant is what's accounting for about 97% of the cases in the state and probably in our region as well. So that's a really good, the case rates in the state of 97% Delta variant is a good indicator that those are likely our cases. And the reason why this is so important is because the Delta variant is more contagious than the original strain of the virus. So the original virus, maybe a person could infect up to two other people, and in the Delta variant, that can be five or even more than five people. So it's more contagious. It's also possibly more dangerous, meaning you might be more likely to get sicker from this or be hospitalized. The good news is that our vaccines are highly effective against this variant, so getting vaccinated remains the best protection that we can have for ourselves and our communities. And the other thing to remember is that many of the cases that we're seeing now are in the unvaccinated population. And our hospitalizations and people who have to be medevaced out of region are almost exclusively in that unvaccinated population. So we do have some vaccinated people who are testing positive, but the patients who are getting sick and requiring medevac and hospitalization here in Bethel, for the most part, are our unvaccinated patients. So Brian, I was hoping maybe you could talk to us a little bit about schools. Schools have gone into session now. We're almost a week into schools. I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about who's a close contact at school and how we kind of are handling when students in school get positive.
Yeah. Okay, great. Yeah, thanks. And just a reminder to everybody, this is a call-in show. So if people have questions at any point throughout this, make sure you give us a call. I think I wrote down the numbers right. 1-800-995-8954 and 543-2756. But correct me if I'm wrong there. So, we're back in school, and I'm sure everyone remembers YKHC came out with a statement, and the CDC has said this as well, that we want to do everything we can to keep kids in school this year. 5 days a week in-person learning for families that want to send their kids to school. And a part of that is whenever somebody is a close contact at school, we hopefully can identify them, you know, we want to identify cases rapidly so that those individuals who have COVID aren't at school, and all of their close contacts that they've been in contact with who are at higher risk for developing COVID don't go to school either. And that'll keep, by keeping those kids and teachers and staff out of school, that'll be able to keep most kids in school. There's a little bit of a difference in who's considered a close contact at school versus what we generally think of as close contacts. Within the school setting, I like to think of this as a couple different ways. Remember, a close contact for the general population is less than 6 feet for more than 15 minutes. And it's a cumulative 15 minutes in a 24-hour period. So if, Dr. Hodges, if I was around you for like 5 minutes in the morning and then 10 minutes in the afternoon, that's a close contact. It doesn't have to be 15 minutes all at once. So that's still true, and it doesn't matter if you have masks on or not. If you're less than 6 feet for more than 15 minutes, you're a close contact. And that's true in the school as well. So the first thing we try to do is identify who is just a regular close contact, less than 6 feet for more than 15 minutes. However, the school, the CDC has given an exemption. So for students who are between 3 feet and 6 feet, if both students are wearing a mask. So the next thing we do after we identify all the people who are less than 6 feet for more than 15 minutes is try to figure out who was between three and which kids were between 3 and 6 feet if they had masks on. So those kids can still attend school. They're not considered a close contact. If you are less than 3 feet, though, you're still considered a close contact. So the first thing we do is when somebody tests positive, we interview those kids or their parents or guardians, depending on their age, and try to ask them who they remember being around for that period of time. And then we also work with the schools to see if the teachers know who else may have been in that group. And so we work with the schools to notify all the parents of who is a close contact. And then we also try to reach out to those families. And we talk to them about how long they should quarantine and then when to seek testing if they're a close contact. So a little bit different for exposures that occur in the school, but for the most part, it's the same. As general quarantine and isolation.
Thanks, Brian. So I guess in summary, wait for the contact tracing team to kind of reach out and let you know whether your family member has to quarantine. And I think it's a really good reminder that in the past, what we had done is essentially quarantine the entire classroom. And now because we're trying to keep kids in school for in-person learning as much as we possibly can, especially in the setting of these high case rates that we've been seeing, I think it's important to remember that. So we won't be sending the whole classroom home again, which is kind of what we did in the past, right?
Yeah, not usually. I mean, there's been a couple situations already this year where the whole class did meet that definition of close contact, but we're really trying to do everything we can to keep as many kids as possible in the class. So if they're not a close contact, then they can continue to stay in the class and participate in in-person learning. I do want to say, the contact tracing team will try to reach out to you, but also the schools are helping reach out to parents as well. So we're relying somewhat on the schools to help us with those notifications. If you get notified by the contact tracing team or the school that you've been identified as a close contact, then we don't want you at school while you're in your quarantine period then.
Yeah. And the other thing I think is important for everyone who's listening to remember is that it's really important that anyone with symptoms doesn't go to school. So any kind of symptoms of an upper respiratory infection, cough, cold, runny nose, fever, new loss of the sense of taste or smell, anything like that, it's really important that those kids stay home. We're trying to call this a symptom-free school and just making sure that that you get tested for COVID as soon as possible after the symptoms start, but that we really need to make sure that kids with any symptoms at all don't make it into school. That will help also help keep our students safe and keep students going to school as long as possible.
Yeah, and one of the things, you know, of course, if you have symptoms, yeah, definitely don't go to school. But we'd also like for anybody who does have symptoms to come and get a diagnostic test done for COVID. If you're in a village, we have lots of tests at the village health clinics, so we don't want those individuals going to the school and testing. If you're symptomatic, stay home and make an appointment to go get COVID tested. At the clinic or in Bethel, you can go to the hospital. Dr. Hodges, you want to talk about where we can go in and where we can get tested here in Bethel?
Sure, absolutely. So people can come to the hospital, to the main entrance of the hospital where the clinics are, not the ER entrance, but the other side. And from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. every day, you can go ahead and get tested there. We also have sometimes been doing appointments in our testing tent, which is across the street in the CHSB parking lot, but that's only open now by appointment. So you can call 6949 and that 543-6949 is the hotline in Bethel, and if nobody answers, go ahead and leave a message, and we'll go ahead and get you scheduled for a test or direct you where the best place to get tested is. But, yeah, I think that's a really important point that Brian made is that anyone with symptoms, especially in the setting of widespread community-based transmission like we're having in Bethel right now, it's just really important that you immediately go into isolation and get tested as soon as you possibly can. So we were talking a lot about quarantine and isolation in schools. Brian, can you remind us a little bit about in the general population, if we're not attending school, what kind of the quarantine and isolation requirements are? Maybe we could start with our people who have not been vaccinated.
For people who haven't been vaccinated, we ask them to quarantine for 10 days from the last day of exposure. And this is a little bit tricky for people who have ongoing exposure, which I can come back to in a second. But 10 days, if you're just a run into somebody that has COVID, you were around them for more than 15 minutes, less than 6 feet, then you get a 10-day quarantine. We still want you to monitor. It used to be 14 days. We still want you to monitor your symptoms for symptoms for a full 14 days, but you only need to actually stay in quarantine for 10 days. Now, there is an option for unvaccinated individuals to shorten that to 7 days. So on the 8th day, you would be off quarantine, the 7 full days in quarantine. If you get a negative COVID test on day 6 and day 7, that's if you get a test with a nucleic acid amplification test, that's then you could just go with day 7. But most places, that's not available. So we do a COVID test on day 6 and day 7 with an antigen test. And that can help you shorten the quarantine period to a week. And again, in that situation, you still should monitor yourself for symptoms. Be extra careful to make sure you have a mask on, avoid crowds, that sort of thing for the full 2 weeks. And if at any point in that second week you do develop symptoms, you should isolate immediately and get a test, another test. So that's the unvaccinated individuals, 10-day quarantine. It can shorten it with some tests. For vaccinated individuals, close contacts who are vaccinated don't need to quarantine. They should wear a mask, make sure they wear a mask everywhere they go, monitor themselves for symptoms, and immediately test if they do get symptoms. They should watch themselves just like everyone else for a couple weeks and test right away if they have symptoms. it's less likely if you're vaccinated that you'll get COVID, but it's possible. We are seeing breakthrough cases, and so that's why they should wear a mask. Masks stop you from transmitting COVID to other people. That's the primary function of a mask, is if you have COVID and don't know it, meaning you're pre-symptomatic or asymptomatic. Pre-symptomatic means you just you're able to spread the virus before your symptoms start. Usually a couple days before your symptoms, you can get other people sick. So if you don't know you have COVID, put that mask on. It stops you from giving other people COVID. So if you're vaccinated, you've been in close contact, wear a mask, but you don't need to quarantine. It's a little bit different for household members. So I mentioned earlier, for unvaccinated household members, if you have ongoing exposure, you quarantine for 10 days from your last day of exposure. So if you live with somebody, for example, that has COVID, every time you're around them, that's the last day of exposure. So day one, if I'm around them, I have a 10-day quarantine. If I don't see them again for 10 days and they get cleared from isolation, I only had that 10 days. If I see them on day two, I get another 10 days. I see them on day three, I have another 10 days. And that's because that might have been the day that I was exposed, and it could take 10 days for me for the virus to replicate enough in my body to make myself sick. So that's what we call ongoing exposure. It basically resets that quarantine every single day. So the last time you're around them, the day they cleared, is the day your quarantine starts counting back from 10. It resets to 10 every day. For household members who are vaccinated, we're asking that they quarantine while their household, even if you're vaccinated, while the person you live with is in their infectious period. And it's a little bit different than what other places are doing. It's not a requirement. It's just a recommendation from YKHC. And that's because there's a report from Public Health England that was done looking at all the household transmission that occurred, thousands of cases they reviewed. And they found that among household contacts, when you live with somebody that has COVID, the amount of people who get COVID in the household is twice as high as non-household contacts, just your general population contacts, people that are, that are close contacts, but don't live with you and have the ongoing exposure. We see the same sort of anecdotal evidence from our region, where if you live in the house with somebody who has COVID, you're much more likely to get COVID than if you're just a close contact with somebody. So since we are seeing breakthrough cases and we are seeing some vaccinated people who have COVID, when you're at that much higher risk of developing COVID, we think it's a good idea to stay home, stay away from other people. Again, that's just a recommendation from YKHC. It's not a requirement from the state of Alaska or the CDC, but there's really good evidence to suggest that good public health practice.
Great, thank you. Yeah, and I think I had one last question, because this sometimes confuses me for sure. What if I am a parent and I have a student in my household who was told that they have to quarantine, but they haven't tested positive? Do I have to quarantine? Do I have to quarantine the rest of my kids, or can the rest of my kids go to school and I go to work if there's someone to watch my kid who has to quarantine for because they were exposed at school?
Yeah, this is, again, a little bit tricky. Generally speaking, because of that increased risk of transmission between household members, YKHC has been recommending that households who can't, isolate from each other inside the house should all quarantine together. So if you've been identified as a close contact, the people you live with probably should quarantine as well. And that's the safest way to go about it. But this year we want to really focus on keeping kids in school. So we're not recommending that siblings of close contacts stay away from school. We're our school guidance says if you're a close contact, you should stay home. But if you're a sibling of a close contact or are associated with the school, you don't need to quarantine from school if you're just a household member of a close contact.
Okay. So from a household member of someone who was exposed and was identified as a close contact, I can still go to work or school. But if that individual tested positive, I should quarantine if I'm vaccinated for that whole time that person is infectious in that 10-day period. If I'm unvaccinated, I need to quarantine probably for 10 days after they're out of isolation. So that could be up to 20 days or even 24 days, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's confusing. And I, you know, Brian and I do this all the time, all day, every day, and we both still have to talk to each other about it. So if you have questions about this, you know, you can talk to the contact tracing team when they talk to you, and we can kind of talk through it together. Because I think this can be kind of confusing. And we have always, as the science changes as well, Brian was talking about that study in England, and it's important that we make our recommendations change as the science changes. So I wanted to switch gears just a little bit and talk just a little bit about the I see we probably only have a little less than 10 minutes left. I wanted to talk a little bit about the booster shots, or it's actually considered the third dose in the series for COVID-19, and kind of how we're recommending people go about this. So this third dose was authorized by the CDC and the FDA for people who have conditions that might make their immune system not work as well. So anyone who's getting cancer treatment or has had an organ transplant and is taking medications to suppress their immune system, these are kind of the highest targets for this particular third dose. And this is for anyone who received either the Pfizer mRNA vaccine or the Moderna mRNA vaccine. So we're recommending that people who are in those categories go ahead and reach out either to your village clinic or call the 543-6949 number, and we'll go ahead and get you scheduled for that third dose. The other large group of people that would be considered for a third dose is anyone taking medicines that would suppress your immune system. So that's medicines that you might take if you have certain types of arthritis or other conditions that would require you to take medicines that sort of suppress or slow down your immune system. So we have gotten a list of those patients who've been prescribed those medications, and we're going to be reaching out individually to people who might qualify for that. But if you're listening and you feel like you're a person who might qualify for that third dose based on the immune changes, go ahead and call us and we'll look at your chart and let you know if you qualify right now. I do think that in the future, maybe as early as September, there might be a recommendation for everyone to get a third dose or an additional dose of the vaccine, whether it's Pfizer or Moderna. And when that happens, YKHC will make an announcement and people can call and make an appointment for, you know, that third dose. But again, if you think you qualify and you haven't heard from YK, go ahead and reach out, 543-6949. If you're in Bethel, if you're from a village, call your village clinic. And we'll take a look at your chart and see if you fit into that category of people who need that third dose in the series. If you've never been vaccinated before and you would like to get vaccinated, you can also call that number or fill the form out online, and we can get you scheduled right away. If you fit that category as having an immune condition, that you would just get three doses, and those doses will be about a month apart. So that's kind of the latest dosing on our COVID vaccine with that booster dose. That's coming out of the third dose in the series, and we just want to make sure that everyone who thinks they might qualify for that get qualified for that. We're also working with the Alaska Native Medical Center to get a list of people who have treatment for cancer who would also qualify. So ANMC might be reaching out, or we might be reaching out, so go ahead and call and make an appointment for your third dose in the series.
Great. Yeah, that's really good news to hear that they're authorizing that. And I hope everybody who qualifies and goes and gets their booster shot, or if they have questions, you know, make sure they can call. Did you say call the hotline?
Yeah, call the hotline in here in Bethel, 543-6949, and just make sure you give them your name and date of birth so that we can go ahead and look at your chart and see if you fit that category right now. One of the questions that came up already was, what if I have diabetes, or I'm a little bit overweight, or I have high blood pressure, and or pregnancy? That's another condition that can sometimes affect your immune system. But right now, those people are not in the category of people who are being authorized for that third shot. It's really just people with moderate or severe immune problems. But stay tuned, because I do think in the very near future, we will be offering that third dose really to everyone who was previously vaccinated with either Pfizer or Moderna. For those who previously received Johnson & Johnson, that's still under study, and they haven't authorized a second dose for the Johnson & Johnson folks. So if you're a person out there who received Johnson & Johnson, stay tuned. We may have more information for that soon, but right now that group of people do not need another dose.
Okay. And so if I live in a village, should I also call the COVID hotline, or should I call my local clinic?
You can call either one. The health aides and the office assistants know to get your name and date of birth so that we can do a chart review. And then if you live in a village and you are a person that we really need to get that third dose in, we'll go ahead and vaccinate you in the next vaccination clinic.
Great. Well, I know we're getting close to our time, but I also just wanted to make a plug. If you, in addition to getting a booster shot, if you're eligible, if you haven't been fully vaccinated for COVID-19, that's one shot of the Johnson & Johnson, or both doses of the mRNA vaccines. Those are still available, right, Dr. Hodges? And we're strongly encouraging people to get those vaccines as well.
Absolutely. They're definitely still available. We have plenty of good supply. And I think that's the most important thing, is the way out of this pandemic is for everyone to get vaccinated. And we're not all safe until everyone's safe. And so the idea of getting the COVID vaccine is more important than ever, especially with the Delta variant kind of running wild in our country, in our state, and in our region. The best way out of this pandemic is for each and every one of us to do our part and get vaccinated. I do think that people who are younger or feel like they're healthy and they might not get too sick with COVID, I just remind you that what we've seen with this Delta variant is that our younger patients are getting really sick and requiring hospitalizations and medevacs out of region. So just a reminder, go ahead and schedule that appointment and get vaccinated. It's a very safe vaccine. Literally millions and millions of doses have been given in the United States, and probably more than a billion worldwide. And the safety of this vaccine is really good. I was listening to a report last night about long COVID, and it was just a reminder that that there's not just that you would get the disease and die, or just not get the disease. There's also other things that can happen to you when you have COVID that will affect the rest of your life. So it's best to avoid that initial infection, and the best way to do that is vaccination.
Yeah, great. And you know, in the meantime, a couple other things we want everybody to do. Please mask up right now. Anytime you're out in public, put a mask on. That protects the people around you from getting COVID. It stops you from spreading COVID if you don't know that you have it. And it provides a little bit of protection for the wearer too. Mm-hmm. And then if you're sick, of course, stay home, seek testing, and then participate in surveillance testing too if it's offered.
Yeah, that's a good reminder. Yep, if you're sick, stay home and get tested as soon as you possibly can. That's another way to kind of keep everyone safe. And yep, we're just really encouraging people to wear masks at all times when you're outside of your immediate household. And I think that'll bring us up to the end of our half an hour.
Yeah, well, thanks. It's been good talking with you this morning.
Yeah, thanks, Brian.
Thanks for joining us for Wellness Wednesday. a show about health and wellness in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Catch us anytime at kyuk.org or live here every Wednesday at 10 a.m. on KYUK 640 AM.